Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 27. My guest today is financial coach Doug Peterson. Now, Doug does what he does because he's had his own difficulty in mastering his own finances, and he understands how difficult it is and also how shameful it can feel to ask for help and admit that you need help and that something is wrong. But as we all know, financial security is incredibly important. Another thing we talk about that we don't have quite enough time to dive as deep as I would like to, so for future conversations, we will continue, but we talk about couples and the importance of being on the same page in your partnership about the finances and having committed time to discussing this. Now, something that I think is important that I want to talk about, I've known a lot of women who completely had their hands off the finances, and I've known a lot of women who have been divorced and have been financially devastated because they didn't understand the financial situation for what it truly was. Now, I only say this because I understand that it happens to men as well, I'm sure, but I see it a lot more in women. So understanding your finances, having conversations, being on the same page, having a plan is super important. And as I said, to be continued in future conversations, but we do talk about it in this episode. So stay tuned, and I hope that you master your finances. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Glad you're here. So why don't you share a little bit about first what you do, who you are, and then how you got here?
I'd be happy to. So I have had 7 businesses. 2 of them haven't gone well. And one of them, which was an executive recruiting business, was going well. And then we had the dot-bomb implosion. So from there, I went to executive coaching and mentoring. And I defined coaching as helping people win the game, but mentoring is helping people get where they want to go. So I was helping people with their businesses. And I thought, at this stage of my life, I've got 2 grandkids and I wanted to make a bigger impact in people's lives. So I thought back about what was a huge problem for me throughout my life, and it was personal finances. So I created a system and a program to help people master their personal finances. And over the last 20 years, I've helped over 25 executives where this was hurting their business, their health, and their marriage.
Yeah, and I'm curious, how do you differentiate between winning and getting where you want to go?
Well, coaching and winning the game is like Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, or any thing that has a beginning, middle, and end where you want a successful outcome. And in fact, the word success, when people think of success, they think it's a place or somewhere you arrive at. And success is just a feeling of accomplishing something you set out to do. Failure is just the feeling you get when you don't accomplish what you set out to do. When it comes to personal finances, it's a simple formula. Money's coming in, money's going out. We need more coming in than going out. We want to manage it so that we get what we want out of life and cut waste so we don't spend money on things we just don't care about. Did that answer your question about winning?
Yeah. So how do you differentiate, like, so winning and then, so I agree with you. I think success is the experience of like living a good life. It's not necessarily a goal. And so, I mean, Pete Carroll wants to, the place he wants to go is winning also. So I guess coaching sounds more like goal oriented. Would you say that that's right?
Well, coaching is something you can predict, and with predictability comes confidence. And I can tell you that if you have cash in your wallet and you spend $10, then you're done spending, unless somebody will loan you more. I mean, it's just cut and dried and pretty clear. And if you have a paycheck and you're setting aside money for things that you want, like maybe celebrating Christmas or going on a vacation or maintaining your house or maintaining your car, and when those bills come up, you have the money, well, that's winning the game.
Yeah.
Instead of living on debt or, you know, we've really been trained in our society to get it now, pay later, and then we're living on last month's income or the next month's income or maybe two months from now.
Yeah.
When we buy something on credit and pay it off as agreed in full, we're paying for stuff we bought 30 to 60 days ago. Winning the game for me is having the money in the bank for the next 30 to 60 days to live without a paycheck. So you're living on income you earned 2 months ago because you slow down your spending for a while, not to live horribly, just to get ahead. It's such a huge feeling to have 2 or 3 months worth of income in the bank instead of 15, 30. I've had people with $200,000 in credit card debt. It's just crazy. And paying $50,000 a year in interest.
Wow.
That's
horrible. And,
you know, and one thing about this, and I'd be curious your thoughts on this, people don't talk about this. I know that in my experience, and I've had some real problems, I've had to sell my house in my 20s because, well, I didn't sell it. I quit claimed it because I used it as collateral for a business. I had to go bankrupt. I had to voluntarily repo my car. I was sure my life was over. And I remember many nights, and that isn't the only time. We've had several downturns where it's been a struggle, where I had cold sweats at night and couldn't sleep. And then I get up in the morning and you have to go out and fight the fight. And people go, "How you doing?" I go, "Oh, doing great. Thanks. How you doing?"
Yeah.
And you know, you're not sleeping and you're tired and you're stressed and you wonder, how am I going to, when the recruiting business crashed, I had 3 kids coming up to college and I live in Kirkland. Kirkland is not a cheap place to live.
No.
And I had to figure out how to operate. I didn't know where to go, who to talk to. I would call credit agencies. People just wanted to have me on their program and ruin my credit and not really help me see a path out of this.
I think what you're talking about is such a huge thing. There's so many different ways we could go. So the first is exploitation, right? It's like, this is a thing everywhere. It's like, how do you know who to trust to actually help you with your problem? So that's one thing. And so I think it would be important to talk about that in your business. How does one find someone to coach them with their finances who isn't just trying to make money off of them and not actually help them? I feel as though I've experienced this, which we can talk about. The second piece that you asked about, I think, is the shame of acknowledging that you have a problem. And I think this is true. I mean, right now we could look at, you know, we could go into the darkness about the number of suicides happening. And often people don't even know that the person is struggling. It's like they're in this battle completely by themselves and nobody knows that they're suffering. Because our world is like, buy the nice car, like have all the nice things, but let's not talk about what's actually happening on the inside. And I would imagine in your work, people come to you wanting help with their finances and you get to learn a lot more about them than their financial situation.
Absolutely. People are very transparent, but it's all over the board. It's not just people that are struggling. It's people that are saying, you know, I make really good money and I just don't know where it all goes. Or the older I get, the more behind I feel. They've developed an expensive lifestyle and they'll never save enough for retirement to maintain it.
Yeah.
So it's all over the board from, you know, people just, you know, running behind $2,000 or $3,000 a month going backwards because they had a perfect storm in their life. They broke a hip. They owed an extra $28,000 to the IRS. They have kids in college and someone trashed their rental house. Now you're thinking, I can't feel sorry for you because you have a rental house, but they are under a tremendous amount of stress, working their tail off, living as cheap as they can, and going backwards.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, the IRS wants $4,000 a month. You know, and they put on huge penalties. And there's all back to winning the game. I'm not an IRS attorney, but if you owe under, I believe it's under $100,000, you take the amount and divide it by 84. You can look up this on the internet, and that's your payment. So we took his payment from $4,000 to $853 just because we knew that. So anyway, there's ways to do this. There's things you can negotiate, but most people haven't ever learned how to do that.
And I think that piece is another really important piece of if you're financially struggling, the first thought you're going to have is, why would I pay somebody to help me if I don't have enough money? But this would be a reason why it would help you get support, get coaching from somebody who understands a lot of these little things that you may not know, these resources and opportunities that you could have.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, I build that into my program. And not to be a sales pitch, but you have to reverse the risk. Right? Why should I have the faith to buy this if I don't know for sure it'll help?
Yeah.
Well, from my standpoint, how can I help you if I don't know what's really going on and spend some time? So I have a get acquainted meeting with people, and we just, you know, spend an hour, and usually it's with the couple or if it's a single person, and just talk about what they want and what their challenges are. And then if I think it makes sense from there, I offer them the discovery process, which is we meet two more times and they do some homework, and I won't go into anything, everything. And if I can't find enough value for the discovery process in those two meetings, they don't pay for it because it doesn't make sense, right? Why would I buy something unless I get more value for it? But if they do like it and they want to go forward, I quote how much time, money, and energy it'll take to work over the next 10 weeks and accomplish some of the goals we've outlined. Because I'm really looking at behavior change, not just a class. This isn't just learning how to do it. It's we set it up and implement it and then teach you how to do it over 10 weeks.
I think that's, you're talking about like integrity, right? And I think if people understand that you won't actually work with them, if it's not going to serve them, they'll probably come back to you in the future or refer people to you if you are super transparent about what you're offering. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And we're working on a lower cost program and some group programs, mm-hmm. but it just takes time to build all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason you start with a higher cost is I still got to make a living. I'm still working. and I've got to fund the development of the lower cost programs.
Yeah.
But if I can't work with you, I want to give you ideas and spend that time of what you can do on your own, what to watch out for, mm-hmm. because there's always something you can do. And if somebody comes beside you with your best interest at heart, you can make amazing change much more quickly.
So let's talk about how people get help. So I know we had a conversation about three specific areas where you really help people. And I'm wondering if you can say a little bit to what's happening now in the world. Like, so many people are struggling. What sorts of things are you seeing based on, whenever people listen to this, we're in the middle of COVID. So many people have lost their jobs. It's a really tough time. I'm sure that a lot of your clients are being impacted by this.
Yes. And I'm concerned about the future impact of this. And I'm a very positive person. People don't often do things until they have to. We'd much rather avoid pain than gain pleasure.
Yeah.
So, on my website, it says now's the time to take control of your personal finances. So many people say, if I'd only known then what I know now. Well, you know stuff now. And have you ever heard of Barbara Scher?
No.
As an author? She wrote the book called Wishcraft, and it's only too late if you don't start now. And I could do anything if I only knew what it was. she just passed away recently, but she's just a hoot. And I love that title. It's only too late if you don't start now. You can't go backwards.
Yeah.
You just start from wherever you are and get a little better. Practice makes better, not perfect.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, because I think a lot of people listening are probably impacted. And so I'm wondering if you can just give some like an overview, like to give some hope to people of like, what can we do? And I guess what you're saying is we can start right now. So whatever's happening in your life right now, and you said in our kind of pre-recording conversation about sometimes you need to take out credit card debt if you don't have an income, like that sort of thing. And just what are you seeing and how are you giving hope to people?
Well, so often I mentioned earlier that confidence comes from predictability. And I haven't met anybody that wakes up on Saturday morning and says, I want to master my finances. I'm going to just dive in and look at, what I can do. And then it's work. You do it, you look everything up, you get all caught up, you get your office cleaned up, you know where your bills are. Oh, I got to do that again and again. And so they really don't in their mind have that this could be managed in a systematic way in a half an hour a week, paying all your bills, knowing all the time exactly how much you have, and having a debt reduction plan so you know you're making progress. So the first thing, after saying all that, is you've got to find out where you are. You've got to sit down, and if you can't do it or you don't have the skills, have someone with the skills, and you find them by finding someone that's managed their money really well, and say, hey, I don't know if you've ever had any areas of your life that haven't been perfect, but this is one that I would really like some help with. And everybody's got areas of their life that don't work. And, you know, another thing about that, and you might be able to speak to this, is when I've coached and mentored people over the years, they go, yeah, but I don't want to burden anybody with my stuff. I said, when you ask me to help you, I can set aside all the things that are weighing on me and forget about them completely and help you. It's so much easier to help someone else than help yourself. Yeah. And if you love this person and they love you, or you like, trust, and respect them, what would you do for someone that came to you that you love or like, trust, and respect? You'd help them in a heartbeat, but oh no, you don't want to ask for it because that's our culture.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's nuts because I'm colorblind. If I want to decorate something, I need help. Is there shame in that? I don't think so.
Yeah. And I think in because of your own personal experience and your own struggle, it's something that you're really passionate about because you know what a difference it made in your life to get things under control.
Yeah. And it's not overnight. This has not been in control my whole life. This has been a learning experience.
Yeah. And you've probably learned a lot that you can share with people. So knowing where you are, I think that's really important. And so, you know, I have a biller who does, or a bookkeeper who sends me my expenses every month. And let me tell you how often I actually like look at that and analyze it. Probably not very much. And I really should, right? Because I'm super unconscious about a lot of things that are happening. I'm pretty responsible. I pay my bills. I sit down, like I take care of all of that, but I'm not so good at like consciously planning. And I think that's the case for probably a lot of people. And so, yeah, how do you get people to do that? It's pretty overwhelming.
It is. And one of the reasons I start with personal finances is, and you're a business owner, you need to know how much it costs you to live so the business can pay you a regular paycheck. Oh, but wait, I don't have regular income. Well, I know, but you have regular expenses. So we need to figure out how much it costs you to live, not to live great and, you know, be traveling everywhere and buy lots of stocks and, you know, doing remodels all the time, but how much it just costs you to live. And then see if the business can support that. And if the business can support that, and this is a challenge with lots of entrepreneurs and lots of people because they keep raising their overhead with their income. If we decide how much is enough, and this isn't being destitute or anything, you know, you have enough to, you know, go out to dinner and go on vacation and do things, you know, but you're not buying new cars and stuff all the time, right? And then every quarter you look at your business, once you say your business can support it, and let's just use a simple example of a one person just working as a consultant or a counselor or a lawyer. And you say, all right, I'm going to just take out this much, which is enough to live. And, you know, it supports our lifestyle, not a huge lifestyle. We've cut out the things that are just ridiculous and we have enough. Now you don't have to borrow from your business if something comes up, an unexpected expense, because you're setting aside emergency funds and saving for car repairs every month. I mean, they do happen. You do need tires and brakes. And so you have that in place and you take 50% of your income and you live on that. And then you take 15% of your gross income and you set it aside for taxes. And you take 5% of your gross income and set it aside for profit. So that's all for you. That's 70%. Of the total income for one person just doing a small business. And then you have 30% to cover your overhead. Now, this example works more in a service like, you know, consulting or counseling or something, but I can apply it to other businesses. So if you spend more than 30% on your overhead, you're taking it out of your paycheck, you know, your profit or your, or your income. So what people really, really enjoy is they're living on that paycheck. And if every if they're making $10,000 a quarter, and I'm throwing out a lot of numbers here, but they take 50% of that profit in the quarter, they got a $5,000 bonus they can figure out what to do with. And the next quarter, if they make another $10,000 because we're paying attention and managing it, they'll have $10,000. They get half of that, $5,000, plus half of what they've already saved from the company in previous profits. So now their bonus is $7,500, and they still have $7,500 in the company. And this comes back to just some simple ideas. Your home needs an emergency fund because stuff will come up, and so does your business. So people look at their checkbooks and decide they have enough money to buy stuff. What I do is give every dollar a job so you know and basically budget down to zero, because every dollar has a job, even if it's fun stuff.
Yeah. I think this is really important. And so how do you help people remove the things that are ridiculous or that they don't need? I think that this is very much, I mean, we talked about it a little bit before, but it's kind of like dieting. It's like, we know to, like, you know, consume less. We know the facts about this, but it's so hard to put it into practice. And so I would imagine people have a lot of expenses that they cannot see themselves parting from.
You know, Stephen Covey said, it's easy to say no when there's a deeper, bigger yes burning within.
Yeah.
When we are not aware of what we're doing, I think it was John Maxwell said, you either tell your money where to go or you wonder where it went. We don't know what to do if we don't know what's going on. And I don't tell people what to do. Basically, I say, so what do you want? Okay, let's fund that. Let's fund that. Let's fund that. Okay, you're out of money. You know, we funded everything you said you want, and we're actually short a little bit. What don't you want? I don't tell them what to cut. It's not up to me. It's like, oh gosh, you know, I can't believe we spent that much going out. I mean, just DoorDashes and stuff. You know, two people having Thai food is $42 to $45. And you're only buying two dishes. I don't know. It's crazy.
I know. I saw a meme recently that was like, you know, your meal costs like $10. And by the time it's delivered, it's like $800 with all the extra fees and stuff.
Yeah.
So it really is little things like that of just like preparing and cooking and doing all these things. And so another question I have for you is, you know, maybe you don't know, but how many people actually are able to make these changes?
Everybody.
That's really good.
They have to decide if they want to.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not hard. It's simple, but initially it's not easy because it's change. But what's so funny is people resist change, even really good change. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's like a secondary gain, right? And this is where, you know, I'll put a plug in for my work, but it's like so much of this is subconscious. If I have a belief that I need to, this is a big one, that I need to suffer, I'm going to sabotage myself, you know? And that's the secondary gain, is I'm supporting my like unconscious ego belief system versus actually creating a good life for myself. And so there's a lot of powerlessness based on psychological makeup, I think. It's very complicated, and it's just like dieting or eating healthy. It's not cut and dry. Like, we're dealing with deep subconscious stories about who people think that they are and what they actually think that they deserve or need in their lives. It's super complex.
Yeah. And so a psychiatrist I went to for myself and my family, and I went there about 5 years every month. And, you know, I was struggling with some depression and ups and downs in business, and I have two kids with a genetic disorder. So, you know, I was trying to, you know, be the dad.
Yeah.
And my dad wasn't a real present dad. So anyway, I went to him, and he talked a lot about cognitive behavioral therapy. What you think about governs what you say and do. So if we ask the question, how come I don't ever have anything or can't get ahead, our subconscious and our brain, without trying to be a psychiatrist or psychologist, what I've read says, we come up with all kinds of answers. Well, because you're such a loser. You never got good grades in high school because you failed at that job. Because you're colorblind. Because you have too much hair. Because you don't have enough hair. You're too old. You're too young. I mean, whatever the committee says, it says. And totally. So we ask questions that are not the right questions. So instead of saying, I can't, how can I afford that because I don't have any money? You say, what can I do with what I've got?
Yes. And that goes back to what you said about being here, being in today, like what's true right now, what are my choices?
So I set up these little heaters under my deck so we could watch football games outside, because that's kind of the thing today. Ooh, they didn't want to spend a lot of money. Oh, it's really cool. It's the Moonbeam Lounge, and it's got barbecues out there and heaters. And I only spent $388 on the heaters, but then, you know, propane cans and stuff are expensive, and they're $35 for an empty can. And I have money in the bank. But I went on next door. I found 6 empty propane pans instead of 35 each for 10 bucks each.
Wow. Little things like that, they really make a difference.
It adds up.
The other thing too that I think plays into all of this is just people's stress level. Like it takes time to go and do that research and look on Nextdoor versus just like unconsciously like rushing around to the next task. So I think another thing that you're doing is just like inviting people to be present in their lives. And a lot of us are in fight or flight most of the time. Like we're not here. We're rushing around. We're not paying attention. And so even the process of like being invited to slow down can probably save you quite a bit of money if you do it.
Well, actually, it's slow down to speed up. You'll get more, you'll accomplish more, and you'll have less stress.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is it doesn't take a lot of time, but I think a lot of us think we don't have the time to do that stuff.
Yep.
And it's not true.
Yep. All we have is time.
Yeah. We just have to choose what we do. Yep. So the other part that I think is really important, so when we talk about working with people and helping them to be conscious about where their money's going, let's talk a little bit about couples. How does this go down with couples?
Well, my wife was concerned that she would lose control if she did what I was suggesting and used this program. And it's a very simple program called YNAB. It stands for You Need a Budget, and you can just go do it yourself and not hire me. And after she did it, she realized, I know all of our finances now. Now, we didn't put our investments in it, and I don't recommend that, but she can go online and see all those. And she said, I thought I was going to lose control, and I have more control than I ever have. And here's why I think that's true. If you say we can't afford it, that's an opinion. Or you're spending too much, that's an opinion. Too much on what? Toilet paper? I mean, I don't know. These days, my precious, it's, I just saw Lord of the Rings, you know, the guy goes, oh, my precious, and he's holding a roll of toilet paper. But what happens when you write things down and you know where it is, and you've got this in each of these areas, you know, well, we want to do this to the yard, and we want to do this to the, we have some home maintenance things we have to do, and we wanted to buy a car, and we wanted to make sure we could pay our insurances and stuff, and the conversation shifts from not we can't afford it to, well, if that's important and we both agree we want to do it, what should we take it out of? All the emotion's gone. It's clear. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that people won't still have challenges over money, but I would say that this eliminates 80 or 90% unless, you know, one of the parties just isn't willing. And there are people that want to control things and don't want their spouse to know stuff. And that's a whole nother conversation that I don't ever get into. If people want to work together and are willing to be 100% transparent, and I've had people say, well, can I have a little separate account? I said, yeah, you can have a separate account she doesn't know about. You can't work with me, but you can do anything you want. It's your money. Mm-hmm. But if you want to work with me and you want to be on the same page and you want to be able to access, none of us is as smart as all of us. Two people are going to manage money better than one, even if one isn't as good as the other. Right? Some people are just so miserly, they're waiting for the rest of their life to enjoy life. And it's their partner that's actually spending some of it to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And I know I felt that way. Oh, I'm in so lack. We can't spend anything. We can't spend anything. And that's not a fun way to live at all. You can spend some, right? You just have to decide.
Yeah. Totally.
We're not going to become millionaires right away. It just doesn't happen.
I think that control piece is really important. And I know I keep talking about diets, but I think it's a really powerful metaphor. It's like a lot of the time, so I do a lot of this work in my practice about what's called the victim triangle. And so if anybody tries to become like an authority in your life or tell you what you should be doing, a very natural response for us as humans is to like rebel against that system. And so this idea of control, it's this super fun subconscious game that we play where we're like, don't control me, like my bank account, I'm going to rebel against you and sabotage myself. And so I think it's a really important reframe. And like you said, your wife just expected it to be a really scary thing. And when she actually was able to dive into it, it wasn't scary at all. She actually felt empowered. So yep. There's so many misconceptions about this. You don't have to fight against anybody. You're not being controlled. You're not in prison. You're actually the one responsible for making these choices for yourself in your life.
Yeah. And I had an experience that we think of control as negative, right? You're controlling me. You're making my life miserable. Well, when things were really tight and for entrepreneurs, they are, right? Business goes ups and downs. And my wife, who is frugal, and she's out and she goes, hey, look, I got two pairs of shoes for $25. I mean, who gets two pairs of shoes for $25? But I'm sitting there going, I can't pay the bills. So I'm trying to be supportive and this nice guy husband and go, oh, good for you. Why do you need so many shoes? And I can't pay the bills, but I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to bring it up. I don't want to tell her how stressed I am. You know, that's not going to change anything to make her stressed. So what we did was we put together, we each have we have all kinds of fun categories. And it's amazing how excited people get about this. But we have our own spending, which is, buy your own clothes. You can get hair care stuff. I can buy whatever if I want, propane tanks or whatever. And we've got a wine budget because it was competing with the grocery budget. And we thought we don't want to choose between the two. We'll just stay within our means on each of them. And we have a date budget and we have a anniversary budget and we have a fund where we put $75 away just so if you want to spend $1,000, you don't have to ask your spouse. You got your own money set aside. So anyway, the reason for this story is that I didn't realize this, but after we started tracking it, she returns over half the stuff she buys. Or a bunch. And she's even made the comment, I need more money. I'm going to go return something. She likes to get stuff, try it on, see if she wants it. I mean, it's all perfectly appropriate. And she doesn't abuse the system. But I had angst because I thought you're wasting money. My opinion, my judgment. Instead, she's now living within what we've already agreed to, and I am as well. And, sometimes you can't, so you borrow it from one of those other areas, right? But we're only spending money we have. So now she comes home with two pairs of shoes, like, awesome. Because now I'm not worried about, are you just wasting money? And I want her to enjoy life and have some things, just like I want to have stuff. I don't need as much stuff, but I need other stuff. Other stuff that she probably doesn't think is useful.
I think it's tricky too, because even when you talk about like your budget pays for the propane tank, and I think this can create a lot of conflict with couples, because that could potentially be something that she would enjoy too. But there's couples that probably there's not agreement about what's like a shared expense versus what's like something that you should be paying for on your own.
Actually, it's funny you brought that up, because I kind of misrepresented a little bit just because we talked about those under the heaters and stuff. So we rented our basement out and, it made a good money for 4 years. And we decided not to do that anymore. We've got a couple grandkids and it's only a 2,400 square foot house, which is still a nice size house. But now we have a guest room and we have room for the baby, the grandkids, and we got a bigger play area, my own office that I didn't share with a crib. And so we said, the outside area, because what's happening with COVID is really an extension of our house, because that's the only place we have people over. And so I said, what do you want me to do? I want to buy all these tanks. We really don't need them all, but it's easier for me to go fill them, and it's a good deal. Do you think we should have that as our basement setup? Because we've been just kind of doing a setup. We bought a bed and things. And she goes, oh, no. Yeah, no, that's fine. I think that's part of our setup. And so we actually did it out of our shared money. And we just talk about things. I mean, if people could just talk things over before they get big. Have you ever heard of I heard this from a counselor I went to, of gunny sacking? So gunny sacking is like you take this little thing that bothered you of, you just went and spent our household money on propane tanks, right? And I needed new towels and whatever, and you're just spending it. We're not talking. So that's a little emotional withdrawal. And now you just did something else. And that's another emotional withdrawal. And then you really put me down one day in front of friends. And that's another thing that's emotional withdrawal. And you're throwing all these things in your gunny sack. And so if we throw all this stuff in our gunny sack and then somebody says one more thing, the old straw that broke the camel's back, not only do we say, and you brought all these propane tanks, you spent $170 and you're ugly and you made me mad and you put me down here and you empty the whole gunny sack on them. So I talk to people, just stay current. Talk to people. Mm-hmm. If it bothers you, say, you know, I don't know why, but it's kind of bugging me. We're spending so much on under the deck for sitting outside. And and part of it is, well, if I have my own spending, if it's really important to me, I can buy it. I've set aside money. If you really don't want it, I'll just buy it. It's okay. But if I really don't want it bad enough to pay for it myself, well, then maybe I don't want it that bad.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about control, and we talked before we started recording about, you know, this is pretty stereotypical, but I see it a lot where I've known many women who have their hands off completely, and I'm sure it goes both ways. I know it does, but more often than not, I see it in women, especially if they get divorced, where they didn't have their hands in the finances at all. They had no control. They didn't really know what was happening. They kind of just, they just didn't make any decisions or ask for that, like to see the bank accounts and to understand what was really going on. How do you work with this dynamic when you have, when there's not like a balance? Like you, it sounds like you and your wife have a pretty open communication and healthy balance, but I know a lot of couples don't have that.
Well, we've only had one separation, which I think is pretty good. And it's been a little bit of work. We've been together a long time.
It's always work.
It is.
And that's, you know, that's another thing that people don't talk about. Marriage is really hard. Relationships are work. Anyway, that's a different conversation, but yes.
Yep. So, and they can, obviously, and they're really great too. There's got to be a payoff. So I'm, you know, we have just a great marriage and I'm delighted, but it's not, what is it? We've been married 38 years, 34 happy ones. I don't know how that goes, but you know, we've had our struggles and tensions. So, you know, one of the things about the power of getting married and being a couple or any team is we all don't have to do everything, right? We divide the labor. So you will have one person doing more of it than another always. It just doesn't make sense for both of you to do everything. You know, sit down together and pay the bills together so that, that only one at a time, you know, it's just, I'm being absurd here, but it just, it makes sense to share the load. But by doing this system and people being aware of where all their money's going, she has transparency into it. And what we do is a family meeting, and I really recommend this to everybody. Everybody can do it. It's super cheap because it's free. And you sit down each week. We have 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. on Saturdays when you're fresh, not Friday night or Thursday night when you're exhausted from the week. And we go over our finances and say, hey, by the way, this came up. I made this decision. I made this change. What do you think? Or this is what I want to do. And we just handle each of those things before they start filling a gunny sack. And that usually takes 5 to 10 minutes. She downloads and reconciles her account and makes sure everything's in. I do the same before the meeting. It takes us 5 to 10 minutes. And then, we also go through all of our household business. You know, there's a lot of administrative things in a household, like, you know, it's open enrollment period for health insurance or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Well, we save all those and we use a little free program called Asana, which you can just keep a list. It's like keeping a list on your desk. That works too. But this is easier because you can assign dates to remind you about stuff. Like we have a timeshare in Cabo San Lucas that we have to use next year and we're not sure if we're going to go with what's going on. But we put it on to 4 weeks from now to come up at that meeting and go, oh, yeah, should we talk about that? So you don't have to remember it. So a little bit of learning how to work together as a team and have a list of things out of your head so that you don't have to remember is huge. And people really start working together. And then you don't have to, I mentioned it before, bring up that thing that's burning on your mind. You don't want to forget about it. And your spouse is exhausted and it starts a fight. Not because you can't deal with it, because you just brought it up at the wrong time. Let's bring it up when we know we're going to bring up all this stuff, whatever it is.
And that's a pretty healthy measure of like where your marriage is at too, if you can communicate about this stuff and you actually want to show up and have these conversations, because it's important.
Yeah, and I brought up my separation because I want everybody to know that this is all a process. And, you know, we have good weeks, we have bad weeks, but it's worth it. It's so worth it because now you're modeling to your kids how people work together. You're modeling to kids how you don't tell them how to manage their finances, which most parents don't do very well because they were never taught. You show them, you model to them. And you can start kids as early as 8 years old on what I do. Go have them spend all their allowance on a giant box of fishies at Costco and go, I wish I'd saved some for something else.
Yeah.
But let them make that mistake, not the BMW when they're 22 years old. They can't afford that just lost half a third of its value the first when you drove it off the lot.
So important. Yeah, I would imagine you see a lot of credit card debt that just like destroys people's lives.
Well, it creates a lot of stress and it's expensive and you don't get anything for it. And it doesn't have to destroy your life either because I do a lot of debt restructuring only because I've had to get out of trouble myself and figure out how do we get interest rates down? How do we pay it faster? Well, you look at credit utilization, credit scores, and I use credit to get people out of debt.
You like a lower interest rate credit?
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, we're in debt, so we're probably overspending what we have. Mm-hmm. So if we are going to lower our utilization by maybe moving it to a 401k loan, and now we've secured the debt, so our credit score goes up, we don't want to lose our 401k and our retirement. So we create an aggressive spending plan or an appropriate spending plan to pay that back. But now we have unsecured debt, and our 401k might be 5%. I don't know, 4-6%, something like that. You can borrow for 6 months. Well, then we go out and get a zero interest credit card, and that's going to average over the next 18 months about 2-2.25%. And we pay back the 401k, and we still have credit card debt, but we've now got it at a much lower interest rate than 20-30%, which I see all the time. And we can use the money we were paying for interest to pay back some of that debt. But I don't do that for anyone unless they're on my program so they know they're not going into debt because so many people restructure and refinance and do it again.
Yeah.
And then they get a HELOC. And then they get a personal line of credit. And then they borrow against their 401k. And then they sell stock. And they're not winning. Right? They're not making progress in the direction they want to go. So I'm very cautious about doing that without having a good system and plan in place that they've already embraced that they want to do long term.
How well do you see people preparing for retirement?
Well, you can look that up on the internet. There are very few people that are going to be financially independent for retirement.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the percentage is, but I think it's less than 10% that can support themselves in retirement. Most are living off of Medicare. It's extremely scary. And just think about it. Just most people, let's say your 40s is often one of your most stressful decades because you're wanting to do something significant. You know, you've been trying to become more successful in your 30s, but it's a struggle. You know, you may have kids, you may have a marriage, you're trying to keep up with your career. And so many people think they really have to have it made by then. And you don't. It's so often that people start going, oh gosh, I'll just never make it because I have kids' college. I've got retirement. I'm trying to either buy a house or pay off a house. I've got maintenance. I mean, there's just a ton. I don't think there's a ton to do. So the more intentional we are, the clearer we can be about it. And one of the real benefits of doing this is beginning to teach your kids, hey, you know, you can live on 90% of what you get. It's not that big of a difference. And start saving 10% in your 20s. Now, what if you're already 40 or 50? Well, you start where you are. And there's only two things you can do. You can lower your expenses and increase your income. And one of the things I don't think people do is invest in themselves to get better. This isn't just to be greedy and make money. It's just to be able to live and live a life you enjoy. And so much of living a life you enjoy, and this is what I think is so crazy, people making a lot of money spend almost all their time, I mean a lot of money, and not everybody, making money and being in their career. And then they go out and spend a boatload on a vacation because they earned it so bad, and they're so tired when they come back from vacation that they go to work tired, and then they're tired from that. And we give a pound of flesh what an ounce would do. Kind of the question is, would you rather work 80 hours a week and make $1 million a year and have no life? Or would you like to make $150,000 a year and work 4 days a week and have enough to live on?
Yeah, definitely the second.
Yeah, but it's, those are big gaps. We start narrowing the gap and people start moving more toward the second one. Mm-hmm. But those are all choices. You know, I could continue to rent out our basement, but we made the choice that we wanted to have our home back. You know, it's, mm-hmm. and it's been really fun. In fact, you don't know what you got till it's gone. It's like we got an 1100 square foot addition.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So we've talked about a lot today. So let's, maybe if there, do you think we missed anything that you think is important for people to understand about their finances or about you?
Well, the hope I would like to give people is that this is doable. No matter what shape you're in, it can get better. Even if you're in a great deal of debt. But what we tend to do and what I've done throughout my life is I put my head in the sand. I just don't want to deal with it. I get more depressed even thinking about it. So whether it's me or a friend or somebody, when we need help, that's when we need to ask.
I think that's super important.
So get help if you can't do it yourself. And we can all get better at everything. And let's get good enough. Let's get good enough where this is not something that's draining our energy and keeping us from living our best life or doing our best work. Stressed brains don't work the same as not stressed brains. And this mm-hmm. applies to people making a lot of money that have enough. The waste is amazing. When you're, the more you make, the more you waste. You know, when we do, things are going well, we party. But when things aren't going well, we ponder and think about what we should do. So I would say this is for people that are just, everybody that is just starting out and needs to get a handle on this needs to do this. And people that are doing this and doing it pretty good can get better and get more efficient and spend less time at it. And people that are knocking the cover off the ball can be more efficient and learn more skills, and they can give more and they can create legacies. It's a foundational habit that we have ignored in our culture.
So how can people find you?
My website is doug@getpriorities straight.com, which is way too much to write. So GPSASAP will get you there.com. Or my number is 206-264-4424.
So you, and you also said a lot of resources in this. So I'll put all that in the show notes for anybody listening. And Doug, thanks so much for all your wisdom today and to be continued. I'm sure we'll have more conversations in the future.
Thanks, Jasmine. You're doing amazing work. People need it more now than ever.
Thank you.
And that's
Thank
just you. Asking for help, right? Mm-hmm. You're no miracle worker, but you can give perspective that we totally. Don't have. And in fact, that's a comment I wanted to make about mentoring. It's nothing fancy like you know all the answers. It's collaborative problem solving. None of us is as smart as all of us.
Yep. Being clear, just paying attention to what's actually happening, doing an inventory, and then making choices, which is great.
Well, thanks very much. I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you. Hey guys, it's Jasmine. Thanks so much for listening to the Live Your Life podcast, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find the show notes and information about life coaching at jasminesavari.com. You can also find me on Instagram at jasminesavari. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you are in crisis, please call 911 or the Crisis Clinic at 1-800-273-8255. Take care and don't forget to live your life.